Broadcasting live from Camelback Ranch, spring training home of the Dodgers.
This team has the chemistry to win the World Championship.
This is Dodger Talk.
Got a good lineup.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Brought to you by 1-800-LOAN-MARK.
Same day cash, 7 days a week.
866-987-2570.
The exclusive home of the Dodgers.
Here's your host, David Vassay.
Welcome to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. The Dodgers continuing spring training here, and today get another victory in spring training. They're fifth of the Cactus League. They are now 5-1. Phone lines are open tonight at 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up later in the show, you will hear from Dodgers second baseman Chase Utley. He was my guest earlier today on the pregame show. Also, you'll hear from Sergio Romo, who made his Dodger debut. And at the bottom of the hour, you'll hear from Dodger closer Kenley Jansen, who made his Cactus League debut. The first time Kenley got into a game was this afternoon in the third inning. We'll let you hear what he thought about his outing. And also, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Dave Roberts and his thoughts on Jock Peterson's new stance, and also Jock entering his third full big league season and how important that is for Jock and the way the organization views him going forward. But today, the Dodgers, like I mentioned, beat the Cleveland Indians. It was a good test for the Dodgers the first two innings. Kershaw versus Danny Salazar. The Indians brought three regulars, and they were the first three hitters of the day. Jose Ramirez, Yan Gomes, and Lonnie Chisenhall, I guess, qualified for that. And Clayton Kershaw did not give up a hit, did not give up a walk, did not give up a run. Two perfect innings for the Dodger ace today. And this is what he told me after the game about his second Cactus League start.
Able to throw a few more pitches and work on a few different things with that extra inning. Fastball command's probably a little better today, and curveball probably wasn't as good as the last time, so just trying to get everything honed in. Yeah, my curveball was breaking like I wanted it to. I was just short today. I was trying to throw it for a strike more, and maybe threw one or two in the strike zone, but the rest were bounced. And you know, in certain situations, obviously you want to bounce it, but today I was trying to get it in there for a strike a little more often, and wasn't able to do that.
So, I mean, you say two perfect innings, and then you talk to the guy, and he finds flaws with something that he did. And I guess that's what makes him as great as he is. And I know after his first start, he was saying how people always tell him, just relax, it's spring training, it'll all come by the end of the day and by the end of at the end of March. But he says he stresses out during that period of time trying to find a way to get it there. And I think that is the excellence of Clayton Kershaw. He doesn't just take it for granted that his talent will get him there. He believes that he has to work to get it back, and I think he's still working to get it there and all in sync. But all in all, a very good day for Clayton Kershaw. I also thought the best at-bat of the day for the Dodgers today came in the very first inning with their very first hitter, Andre Ethier, who worked a full count walk, had a really good at-bat. I believe it was at least 8 or 9 pitches, and it was a really professional at-bat. He told us after the game over there in Salt River Field on Tuesday that even though it's spring training and you want to get results, you want to go up there with a purpose as a hitter. And I think the rest of the Dodger young players can really take a cue from Ethier and really go up there with a purpose. It was very disappointing after the type of at-bat Ethier had to lead off for the Dodgers. Andrew Tolles comes up the very next hitter and swings at the first pitch and flies out. I mean, that made no sense to me. And I thought this may have been one of those bumps in the road for Andrew Tolles. Maybe his first bump in the road in spring training. He had a bad at-bat there in the first inning, and then he got the start in center field and misplayed badly a fly ball when Kenley Jansen was in the game in the third inning and made Kenley stay out there longer than he anticipated. But I think one thing we've learned watching Andrew Tolles play the final 2 months of the season last year and today in spring training, center field is not his position. He never seems to get a good jump off the ball when he plays center field. So maybe the Dodgers want to consider right field or left field. And I know it's spring training, and I'm sure Dave Roberts just wants to see if he's made any adjustments or if he's gotten any better. He hasn't. So maybe run him out there a couple of more times. Like I said, it's spring training. Give him more opportunities if that's something that you're thinking about and want to see. But if this was a regular season game, there is no chance I would trust Andrew Tolles playing center field. And you know what? Everybody it seems to be handing this guy a starting position, a spot on the 25-man roster. I feel like he's still got to earn it. And even if he does earn a spot on this roster, he's not better than Andre Ethier. He's not giving you better at-bats than Andre Ethier. If it's me, Andre Ethier is getting the lion's share of at-bats against right-handed pitching. And if Yasiel Puig can't step up and be an everyday player, then you're going to have the luxury and opportunity to have both Tolles and Ethier in the game and starting in the corner spots with Jock Peterson apparently getting an opportunity against lefties. So that's what I saw today as far as the position player goes and Clayton Kershaw's two perfect innings. Also, a great story today was Sergio Romo making his Dodger debut, and he was really excited about it for a number of different reasons. I'll let Sergio explain. This is part of our conversation after he came out of striking out the side in the fourth inning.
Yeah, I was joking around with the coaches. I was like, hey, let's, you know, pitching after Kenley, let's not make that a habit now. No, but I was really excited to get out there. You know, I was that little kid, you know, that was dreaming and wishing I was going to play in the big leagues one day, and it started being a Dodgers fan, you know. So it's coming full circle for me, the fact that my dad was here, and I was able to pitch in front of him and in front of the Dodgers fans. And, you know, they were here, and I was very happy with the reception I got too. I didn't expect, you know, for people to be cheering as loud as they were, but I'm very thankful for that. To say the least, the adrenaline was really pumping today.
Yeah. Is it setting in more that you're a Dodger? Because I know you've been excited. Is it setting in more that it's real?
Definitely is. You know, getting in the game for the first time, you know, definitely is kind of the solidification in the sentiments and the thoughts that I am a Dodger. You know, the acceptance. You know, I'm a Dodger now, and I was thankful for the opportunity to, you know, to get a job, you know, to have a spot at the table. And today I was also thankful for the opportunity to get a chance to pitch. You know, I got an opportunity to work with Yasmani, and that's really one of the things I really wanted to establish, was a good relationship with him so he can understand, you know, the thought process, you know, that goes through in my head, let alone the thought process, and show me the thought process that goes in through his head. So again, you know, I was just thankful for the chance, you know, to go out there. And the fact that I went in feeling good, healthy, threw an inning, you know, had some, you know, pretty solid results, and then made some quality pitches against some quality hitters, and I'm glad I was able to walk out feeling healthy the same.
Yeah, because at this time last year, you may not have been healthy like you are. So how do you approach spring training differently today than maybe you did even 4 or 5 years ago?
Now it's not necessarily just trying to establish myself in the big leagues, you know, establish myself on the teams that I've been on in the past. You know, before I always felt like I had to, you know, prove that I deserved, you know, was deserving of the spot. And it's not that I don't feel that way now, but it's not as extreme as before. You know, for me, it's really not just trying to work on the relationships, you know, with my new teammates, with the catchers especially. You know, that's why I was really thankful today that I was able to throw to Yasmani, because I do expect to see him a lot back there, of course.
And that was Sergio Romo after a successful Dodger debut today, striking out the side in the fourth inning. And you heard him mention he loved the Dodger fans accepting him today here at Camelback Ranch with the reception they gave him when he came in to start the fourth inning, and also his dad being here. And I actually saw his dad leaving with Sergio after the game today, and his dad was dressed head to toe in Dodger gear. So we already know the Romo family are Dodger fans, and now they have their boy in Dodger blue, and he's very excited about it. And I think Dodger fans are going to be very excited if Sergio can throw the way he did today. So an all-around successful day for the back end of the Dodger bullpen, coming in an unlikely innings, third and fourth inning, but that's the way it goes in spring training. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, you will hear from Dodger closer Kenley Jansen. Before we take a break, let's go out to the phones, 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Dodger Talk is your show, so 866-987-2570. Let's go out to L.A. Marvin, you're on with David Vasse, live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about the duration of the game, where instant replay will be best served to be used during the playoffs, not during the regular season, and also to be reviewed by the umpires, not even on the field. See, in baseball, it's not like basketball, where it's only 60 games, or like football, only 16 games. We have more than 100 games where it can be always made up. And also, it's part of the game. Human error is part of the game. For example, when a batter strikes out at a bad pitch, or when a pitcher is intentionally walking and throws a wild pitch, that's part of the game. Don't change it. That's
okay, Marvin. So you don't like the length of time it takes for the manager to decide whether or not to review the play, and how long it takes New York to decide whether or not the play stands or if it's going to be reversed. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. For example,
Hold on, Marvin. I have some good news for you, because today Major League Baseball sent out some new rules that will be taking place beginning on opening day here this season, including the intentional walk being eliminated. But also, more importantly, to what you're concerned about, and the point that you bring up is very fair, because I agree with you. I think it's been going a little bit too long for A, the managers to make a decision, and B, for New York to make a decision on whether or not the call is going to stand or be overturned. So listen to this, and thank you for the phone call. A 30-second limit for a manager to decide whether to challenge a play and invoke a replay review. Hopefully, umpires hold them to that. And also this, when a manager has exhausted his challenges for the game, crew chiefs may now invoke replay review for non-home run calls beginning in the eighth inning instead of the seventh inning. So you're getting one inning shorter of having that option. And also, too, the one thing that I really like about some of the new rules that are going to be in place for the replay is a conditional 2-minute guideline to replay officials to render a decision on a replay review, with some various exceptions. Hopefully, those very exceptions are little to none, because I think it's taken way too long for certain plays to get a ruling on. And I like everything that Major League Baseball is doing with that. So, Marvin, hopefully that speeds up the game for you. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers, and for all of us as well. I'm not a big fan of certain things that are going on with some of the new changes to baseball, and hopefully this changes one pet peeve, major pet peeve that I have, and I know Rick Monday has talked about during broadcasts along with Charlie Steiner. So hopefully the umpires hold the managers to that rule, and hopefully New York holds themselves to that rule of making a decision within 2 minutes, hopefully sooner. We're going to take a quick timeout here on Nissan Dodger Talk. When we come back, you'll hear my conversation with Chase Utley. Also, I'll let you know why Dave Roberts will not be managing the game here at Camelback Ranch. So stay where you are. There's more Nissan Dodger Talk. Plus, I will let you know who will be my co-host in 2018 for Dodger Talk, because I know a lot of you are asking. So stay where you are. David Vasse, live at Camelback Ranch on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
Welcome back to Camelback Ranch. I'm here with Dodgers second baseman Chase Utley. And first of all, Chase, the way you heard your teammates speak about you, it made it seem like you got a little taste of what your eulogy will sound like. Usually people don't get to hear that when they're still alive.
Come on, Dave. Come on. No, listen, I think we all know we have a great group of guys in this clubhouse. And we had a good time last year, and I'm just happy to be a part of it again.
Where were you at in the offseason? Were you waiting for the Dodgers to figure things out roster-wise before you decided to make a decision to go to another team?
A little bit, yeah. I enjoyed my time last year. Obviously, it's a great organization, great team, and I wanted to be a part of it again, and luckily it worked out.
when you hear the things that your teammates said about you, it just seems like you've had such a big impact, not only on the field with numbers and all that, but how does it make you feel that you've had an impact on the next generation of baseball players?
Well, obviously, it makes you feel good. There's still a lot of work to do, and in this game, you're always trying to get better. You're always trying to find things to improve on, and I think guys bought into that last year, and hopefully that'll continue to improve.
In this part of your career, did you ever set out to do that, or it's just something organically happened?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it happened just fairly organically. You know, I've studied this game for a while. I've played my fair share of games over the years, so therefore I have a little bit of experience. So if I can rub off in a positive way on anybody, I think that's a good thing.
When you look at everybody that's come back here, Justin Turner, Kenley Jansen, Rich Hill, yourself, how important is continuity to be a championship team?
Well, the time when I was in Philly, we had pretty good teams for a number of years, and one characteristic that we had is, you know, we all got along. We all had a good time in the clubhouse. We had fun playing with each other and for each other, and I saw a lot of that last year. And I would imagine that will continue to build.
Chase Utley is our guest, and I mentioned second base, but there might be other positions for you. Do you think first base is one of those positions where you might see some time this year?
I'll be happy to play anywhere.
Yeah.
Dave calls my name, I will be ready. I played a little bit of first base in the past, but really, I'm here to try to help this team win, so whatever that means, I'll be ready for it.
Well, I guess the true sign whether or not you're ready for that is if you have a first baseman's glove in your locker right now.
I do have a first baseman's glove in my locker. There's a little dust on it. I think I have to get the dust off. But, yeah, like I said, if they want me to play first, I'll play first, second, pinch hit, run the bases, you name it, I'll be there.
Would you prefer, if they're going to call on you to do that, doing that in spring training to kind of get assimilated at first base again?
I think the more repetitions you have, no matter what position you are, you get more comfortable with it. Right now, early in spring training, for me, it's trying to get your legs under you, get them comfortable, and once that happens, I'll do whatever.
Will your process change as far as preparation for a game? If you're coming off the bench, does that change anything for you?
It probably changes things a little bit, tinker around a little bit with trying to find a routine that works, try to figure that out here in spring training and take that into the season.
Did you think last year was going to be your final year playing, or did you feel like the way things were going for you, you made a decision like, I still have a lot left?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I have some gas in the tank. So no, I didn't think last year was my last year. Staying positive. Definitely not getting any younger, but trying to stay young, and I think that's important.
Have you been around a team that has this kind of veteran talent on it? I know when you were with Philly, you guys were younger coming up together, but veteran talent doesn't seem to get together like the way they've put it together here.
No, it's. I think it's a good mix. There's obviously some young guys that have tremendous upsides and some guys that have been around that have had some success, so kind of combining those two. You know, you have to like your chances.
Being a guy that has worked with a lot of double play partners, more importantly, the one that you work with the most, Jimmy Rollins, how important is spring training for Corey and Logan to get to know each other? And is that something that can happen in spring training, or does it happen over the course of a season?
I think it happens over the course of the year, but obviously getting familiar with one another in spring training is important. Taking that into the season, and as the season goes, you kind of learn more and more about each other. You know, I play with Jimmy for 11 years or something like that. So,
yeah.
You know, early on it was a work in progress, but, you know, after a while we felt like we could read each other's minds.
Before I let you go, just curious your thoughts as a veteran in this game. Andre Ethier mentioned this yesterday. You don't see too many 35-year-olds continuing to get chances. Where do you see veterans' place in this game? It seems like they're becoming more and more reliant upon younger guys. Do you see the game changing in that way?
It's interesting. I think this offseason kind of showed that a bit. You know, I think there is something to have a veteran presence around, but I also understand there's money involved, and the younger guys can be cheaper, if you will. So
yeah.
I think there's a fine line, so we'll have to see.
All right, Chase, thanks a lot for the time, and I won't bug you again until May.
Perfect.
He was excited about that. That was Chase Utley earlier today before today's contest with the Indians that the Dodgers won 4-2. love talking to Chase Utley. I really enjoyed getting to know him better over the last year and a half, 2 years. He is as great of a guy as everybody professed, and I guess that was part of my morbid humor coming out in the beginning of that interview, because it's true. Who talks about a guy that much, and in the way the Dodger players did before Chase was signed, after Chase was signed? That's usually the stuff you hear at a eulogy at a funeral. So I was happy for Chase. I was trying to tell him, I'm happy for you that you actually got to hear that stuff, because usually people are like 10, 15, 20 feet under the ground before they hear those type of words from people. So I was glad to, I was happy for Chase. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. And Chase's buddy, Corey Seager, has not played in a game since fouling off a ball off his right shin earlier in the week. But Dave Roberts said things are getting better. X-rays were negative, and Corey will be back in the lineup either tomorrow or one of the games over the weekend. I actually ran into Corey today outside on the side by Maury's Pit, where the taco truck was again. Thanks to Adrian Gonzalez for providing everybody with the taco truck out here at Camelback Ranch. He does it on Taco Tuesdays, but it was a road game, so he did it when the Dodgers had a home game here at Camelback Ranch. And I saw Corey, he was wearing shorts, and the swelling had gone down tremendously in that right shin. And unlike Andre Ethier, he wasn't on crutches, so that was a good sign as well. But some of his teammates saw me looking at his shin. They're like, you should have seen it the day after. It was like a grapefruit sprung up on his leg, and it was like a second knee. So that just tells you how bad he fouled that ball off his right shin. But he's doing better, walking around, grab some tacos, and he'll be in the lineup one of the next couple of days. Also, something you should know, too, is the Dodgers have a split squad game tomorrow. Rich Hill will be taking on the Kansas City Royals here at Camelback Ranch, but Dave Roberts and Rick Honeycutt will not be here because they are going to Salt River Fields to watch the Dodgers split squad play against the Arizona Diamondbacks. More importantly, the reason why they're going over there is to watch Brandon McCarthy make that start, and he will be going up against Zach Greinke. So that just tells you the significance of that start for McCarthy, and that Dave Roberts and Rick Honeycutt want to get their eyes on him to see where he's at in a major league spring training game. So very interesting. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to L.A. Josh, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Josh.
Hi. I wanted to talk about Cody Bellinger. Do we think he'll get a 25-man spot? And if not, will we see him in September as a pinch hitter? Or could we see him mid-year, do you think? Like, where is he on the first base depth chart behind Chase Utley?
All right. Well, I don't think he'll break camp with the Dodgers. I think there's a pretty good chance of that. But I will say this. I think Cody has a very good chance of being called up in September and earlier if circumstances warrant as far as injuries. Now, I don't think you're going to see Cody Bellinger start at first base, like I said, unless there's a significant injury to Adrian Gonzalez that keeps him out for an extended period of time. I think the place that Cody will get his major league debut is in the outfield, which he is very able to play. And Bill Hasselman, the Oklahoma City Dodgers manager, was the first one to tell me how confident he is in Cody's abilities in the outfield. And Cody told me the first week that I was here at Camelback Ranch that he actually played outfield until his teenage years, until he converted to first base. So he's confident not only in the corner spots, but also in center field. So that's how I see the next year or so playing out for Cody Bellinger. And I think at this time next year, we'll be talking about Cody Bellinger possibly becoming the Dodgers' opening day left fielder or right fielder. So I think that's where you'll see Cody Bellinger in 2018. Sorry, no cough button out here at Camelback Ranch. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Also, here's the big announcement, I guess. As you know, maybe you don't, Tony Gwynn Jr. has taken a broadcasting job with the San Diego Padres, and he'll be broadcasting 30 television games, 30 radio games. So Tony Gwynn Jr., my partner for 1 year. Tony, one and done on me. And I loved doing the show with Tony Gwynn Jr. because we could have a discussion, we could disagree, we could dispute each other, and at the end of the night, we would still be friends. And I appreciated him. I mean, why is the seltzer on that, Ronnie? I'm being serious here. Tony was a guy that I really enjoyed doing the show with for all those reasons, because we could still be friends and he wouldn't get upset if we disagreed. He wouldn't take it personal if we disagreed, and he never tried to hit me over the head with a hammer with the I'm a former player, I played, you never played card. He respected my opinion. He gave me my room to basically voice my opinion and let him know what I the knowledge I had emanating from the clubhouse in the front office. And I really enjoy doing it, the show with him, because he's a good guy. And that's number one when you do a radio show with somebody. You want to do it with a good person. And that's Tony Gwynn Jr., who comes from a great family. So good luck to my man, Tony Gwynn Jr., down there in San Diego. Next year, though, my partners in Dodger Talk will be Ned Colletti and Jerry Harrison Jr. from Sportsnet LA. They're going to alternate, and they will be emanating from the Sportsnet LA studios. So we'll have fun with Ned and Jerry throughout the season. So I'm excited on that new chapter of Dodger Talk. So there you have it. That's the new Dodger Talk co-hosting, lineup for you. Let's go back out to the phones. Hacienda Heights. Frank, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? Just
doing
right here,
Frank.
Cleaning my in-ground pool.
Nice.
Just wanted to check in to see how Puig's doing, to see if if it looks like he's going to be the clear-cut starter like Doc alluded to, or if maybe one of the younger guys might be able to take that spot, and Puig can be that guy to come off the bench to be a defensive replacement, that type of guy, because if he was benched for Reddick in the postseason, I'm not sure how much faith they really have in him to, be that everyday type of guy.
Well, they're trying to go with a clean slate with Yasiel, Josh, and I really believe that's the way to go, since they decided to keep him around and to give him another opportunity. The Dodgers, that would be a good sign if he's able to be the everyday right fielder, not only for him, but for the team. So far in spring training, I really haven't seen the necessary adjustments from him to really have good contact, even on the backfields. I really haven't seen that. So we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. One thing I do know, though, is that the Dodgers are in a better position if they do need to platoon or do need to have another starter in right field than they were a year ago at this time. So I think their plan B is a lot better than what it was at this time last year.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks for the phone call, Josh. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, you'll hear my conversation with Dodger closer Kenley Jansen. He made his Cactus League debut today for the Dodgers. And also, you'll hear from Dave Roberts and his thoughts on another new adjustment at the plate for Jock Peterson. So stay where you are. There's more Nissan Dodger Talk with your phone calls next on AM570 LA Sport.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona until 8 o'clock tonight on your home for Dodger Baseball, AM570 LA Sports. Our next broadcast will be this Sunday when the Dodgers host the Seattle Mariners. Dodgers on Deck begins at 11:30. First pitch will be at 12:05 with Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner. Want to give a shout-out to my main man, Bob Miller, the voice of the Kings for the last 44 years. I am lucky enough to call him a friend. I truly appreciate him every time I turned on a hockey game. I tweeted that I turned on the Kings for the first time, Gretzky's first night in Los Angeles. He was the reason why, but Bob Miller taught me the game of hockey and made me keep watching and continue to be a fan of the LA Kings after that. So I think that's a testament to how much Bob Miller means to this city. And I know a lot of times he was overshadowed by Vin Scully and Chick Hearn, but Bob Miller was the Vin Scully and Chick Hearn of hockey, and I'm happy about the last 5 or 10 years, especially since the Kings won those 2 Stanley Cups. He's getting his due respect because he is not only the greatest hockey announcer, but one of the greatest sports announcers of all time. And we hope Bob continues to get better. His final Kings broadcast will be on April 9th against the Anaheim Ducks. He's going to call 2 more games while he's recovering from his mini stroke. April 8th against the Blackhawks and April 9th against the Anaheim Ducks. So, Bob, we will miss you. But happy to keep having you around, and I'm sure you'll be like Vin Scully. Even though not broadcasting any games anymore, you'll be around and be associated with the Kings and continue to be a great ambassador for the game of hockey. You're not only a great broadcaster, but one of the best people I've ever met in this business. So thank you. And I guess there's no shock why he's such a great guy. He's a hockey guy. Hockey people are the nicest people in sports. Number 2, he's from the Midwest. So those 2 combinations, you get a super nice guy. So there it is, Bob Miller, Midwest guy and a hockey guy. The combination that gets you kindness and really treated with respect, because hockey people are great people and don't take themselves too seriously. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. I don't like to do on this day in baseball history, but these were 2 giants of the game. So in case you didn't realize, today, back in 1927, Babe Ruth signed a record contract at that time in Major League Baseball, a 3-year, $210,000 contract back in 1927 for the Bambino. And on this day in 1969, Mickey Mantle announced his retirement. So 2 giants of the game, 2 Yankees made news today in their respective years. Let's share my conversation with Kenley Jansen, who came out of the game today after having some poor defense behind him, a misplay by Andrew Tolles, an error by Chris Taylor. But Kenley saw the bright side of things, and that gave him an extra chance to work on more pitches. And this is what the Dodgers closer had to say after he came out of the 3rd inning today.
Yeah, definitely.
Last year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like I said, the more you keep doing it, I think, man, you're just going to get better on it, too. You know, I'm feeling good. I feel in shape. So, you know, now it's just got to continue to keep working on.
Were there any physical reasons why you hadn't pitched until
today? No. It's just Honey don't want me to pitch in February. I mean, you know, we all know that I got a little pushed around a little bit in the playoff at the end. So, you know, he just want to ease out to every bullpen guys. I mean, if you see, like, all the bullpen guys is going to go today and tomorrow. So, you know, feel good about it.
Are you trying to maybe command that slider more?
Yeah, I try to get better on my slider, man. I mean, you know, that's the one thing I want to continue to keep getting better on it. I mean, once I get that pitch down, it's going to be pretty fun, you know, to play, I feel like, to have another weapon. So, you know, this spring training, I'm going to keep continuing to work on it. And, you know, last year I worked pretty good, but I just tried to, you know, get it consistent.
Is it more about having the confidence to throw it in a game, or is it the...
Yeah, I got confidence. It's just sometimes, you know, as being tall, you know, your mechanics and all that stuff have to play into it. So, you know, it's a kind of different pitch a little bit compared to just throwing a fastball. So on a slider, you really want to make sure it go down, because if you hang it, that's the easiest pitch for position players to hit.
And that was Kenley Jansen after he came out of that 3rd inning, and you didn't hear the response he gave me when I asked him about his hair and how he fit that hat on that hair. I mean, Kenley's a good-looking guy. I'm just not into this the hair, the way it's styled right now. So we'll see whether or not he makes the adjustment, but I guess all that matters if he continues to get the saves and the outs, and hopefully he could be on the mound this year, not only for an NLDS championship, an NLCS championship, but hopefully a World Series championship. And I was interested to know why he wasn't pitched in a game before today, and he was very honest with the answer. Rick Honeycutt did not want to have him pitch in the month of February, knowing that spring training started a little bit earlier, and the taxing that he had in the postseason last year, so it made a lot of sense. Also, a guy that I'm interested in is Jock Peterson, who came in studio with us during the offseason. He said that he was making some tweaks to his swing and his stance, and we've seen it so far in games. And Jock had his first hit of the spring last night in Scottsdale against the Giants, a monster three-run home run. He definitely has changed his stance when he gets into the batter's box, and his hands seem to be in a more ready position. And this morning, I asked Dave Roberts if he likes this new version of Jock Peterson at the plate.
I think, you know, with Jock, and even if you go back to last spring, there was a lot of tinkering and really trying to figure out, you know, what works best for him. And I think that the second half of the season, he made an adjustment, you know, with his mechanics. There's like a little step back thing going, and it gets him in a good position to fire. And I think from that point on, he kind of found, you know, sort of a, you know, a baseline for his approach or his swing mechanically. And outside of that, then the approach piece, the plan piece. But I think that right now, mechanically, he's pretty sound.
How important is it where his hands begin? It kind of looks similar to Corey and JT where they start off.
I think he's just comfortable, and I think every hitter is different on where they start. But I think the important thing is that when he gets to fire, to that point where he's getting ready to fire on the baseball, his hands are in a consistent position, and that's where he's at right now.
How important is a third year for a player like Jock, who has the talent he has? Who's, you know, this will be his third full season in the big leagues. How important, in your experience, is it for him to have a good season?
Well, I think there's a lot of continuity with the players, his teammates, the coaches now. And so that familiarity, I think, helps a younger player. And also just kind of going through a major league season and the whole cat and mouse of the league not knowing you, then the league making adjustments, and then you making adjustments. So I think that right now Jock is really comfortable, and, you know, he put in a lot of work this winter on his body, and he was at the ballpark, you know, literally almost every day over the winter, and outside of a nice little vacation with Corey to Hawaii. But
that was a baseball camp.
That was. That's what they dubbed it as, but yeah. But no, he had a great winter, and I just see no reason why Jock wouldn't have another big year.
And that was Dave Roberts this morning before the Dodgers took on the Indians, talking about Jock Peterson, his new stance at the plate, his approach, how it's evolved over the last 3 years. And I think Jock doesn't get enough credit for the adjustments he made last year. His OPS was significantly higher than it was his first full year in the big leagues, and his contact rate went up last year from a year ago significantly as well. So I think if you look at his numbers and what he's done, 25 home runs, an OPS of 837, plus the defense he plays in center field, I think there's a lot of teams out there that would like to have a Jock Peterson. So I think he's done a pretty good job of making the adjustments, and I know he's primed for a big year in year three, because he sees himself as, you know, not at a crossroads, but knowing that this is the year usually for a superstar to have that breakout year. And I think he's trying to do everything he can to achieve that and to really just have people look at him in a different way. So we'll see how it plays out this year for Jock Peterson and the Dodgers. But at the very least, I don't think it gets any worse or regresses than it did last year, especially if you have a chance. If you go on MLB.com, Dodgers.com, you want to watch that video of his stance before he hits that three-run home run. It looks like there's not as many moving parts. And I was talking to Tim Hyers, the Dodgers assistant hitting coach, earlier today, and he said it's a lot quieter than it was a year ago. So I think a lot of people approve of it. I'm not sure if it's a finished product, but it seems to be a little bit more conventional than some of the things he was trying to do last year. It kind of reminds me a little of how Justin Turner starts. I'm talking about the hands and where Corey Seager starts with his hands. If you match up all three of those guys' setup before the pitch is thrown, it looks kind of similar. So maybe just Jock Peterson took a page out of their books, because obviously they're doing something right. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Tonight is our final Dodger Talk of the week, and then we will be back with you next week on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Our next Dodger radio broadcast, like I mentioned, will be this Sunday, beginning at 11:30 with Dodgers on deck. The Dodgers will be taking on the Seattle Mariners. First pitch with Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner will be at 12:05 right here on Dodgers Radio AM 570 LA Sports. Also, want to remind you that a lot of players are leaving for the World Baseball Classic next week, and you can get your tickets for the semifinals and finals at Dodger Stadium March 20th through March 22nd. First pitch for all those games will be at 6 o'clock, and you could purchase your tickets right now at Dodgers.com/WBC. And speaking of the World Baseball Classic, Adrian Gonzalez is going to play for Team Mexico, it appears. Dave Roberts said today that Adrian took some dry swings. What that means, Rick Monday explained it during the broadcast, is no baseball involved, him just taking about 20 swings to test out that right elbow, which has inflammation in it and has prevented Adrian from swinging a bat up until today. And then tomorrow, he will swing off a tee. And Dr. Neil Eletrosh will be in town on Monday here at Camelback Ranch to examine Adrian's elbow, and if he's cleared, he will get one at bat in the Dodgers Cactus League game, and then if all goes well with that, he will get two at bats according to Dave Roberts on Tuesday, and then they'll make an evaluation, and if everything is good, if his elbow's feeling good, he will go off to play for Team Mexico in the World Baseball Classic. And keep in mind, Mexico plays 6 games in 8 days. And it's not just, you know, Adrian playing for his country. Obviously, he has a lot of national pride, but he is the marquee draw down there. That is some of the biggest reason why there's a more pressure on him than maybe some other players to play in the World Baseball Classic. Number one, they're using his face, he's the face of it, to sell tickets down there. And also, too, his brother Edgar is the manager. So obviously he wants to come through for his brother. So all those different reasons make it a little bit more pressure-packed for Adrian Gonzalez to find a way to play. But he's not going to put himself in harm's way just to play for Team Mexico. If Dr. Neil Eletrosh says, you know what, take another week, don't swing the bat, he's not going to just go off and play because of all those reasons. He feels good enough to swing the bat today, and tomorrow he'll swing off a tee. So things are pointing in the right direction for Adrian Gonzalez and the Dodgers. So that's good news for him. Also, some other players, in case you didn't know, that are going to play in the World Baseball Classic: Kike Hernandez for Team Puerto Rico, Rob Segedin is going to play for Team Italia, and also some other players going for Team Mexico are Sergio Romo, Alex Verdugo, Vidal Nuno, who was here before he was traded away to the Baltimore Orioles, all pitching for Team Mexico. And you say Julio Urias listed on the roster? Well, kind of, sort of. He's one of those pitchers that if they got to the finals, they could ask permission for him to pitch, and I think the Dodgers may acquiesce in that situation if Mexico got to the finals. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. In case you missed it, tomorrow the Dodgers have split squad games. Rich Hill will be here at Camelback Ranch against the Kansas City Royals, and Brandon McCarthy will be making the start at Salt River Fields against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Zach Greinke will be making the start for the D-backs tomorrow. More importantly, for the Dodgers, as far as they are concerned, they are sending, well, they're not sending, Dave Roberts and Rick Honeycutt have chosen to go to watch Brandon McCarthy face the D-backs, and Bob Guerin, Dave Roberts' bench coach, will manage the game here against the Royals with Rich Hill on the mound. And I mentioned to Petros and Money when they asked me about Kazmir and McCarthy, I think the Dodgers want to see where their heads are at when they're on the mound. We saw Kazmir last night, had a pretty clean first inning, 8 pitches, and then things kind of got sideways on him in the second inning, and he still seems like he's searching, which is kind of a nervous time for the Dodgers if you're still searching at this point in time in spring training. It's not bad if you're searching, you know, once a week or something, but it seems like Scott's searching every time he goes for a bullpen session, throws to live hitters, and then last night as well. So I think the Dodgers want to lay eyes on Brandon McCarthy to see where his head's at mentally, because he did have the yips at the end of last year, mentally and physically, but I think the emphasis is on mentally, and Brandon threw on the backfields earlier this week against minor league hitters. He seemed to come out of it okay, so that's why Dave Roberts and Rick Honeycutt want to check him out tomorrow against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and hopefully things go well because that could be a huge boost to the back end of this rotation. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. In case you missed any of our interviews or any part of the show, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. Thanks to Sergio Romo. Thanks to Kenley Jansen. Thanks to Dave Roberts. Thanks to Chase Utley. And thanks to Clayton Kershaw. All of them taking some time out for me to during the day today. So appreciate that. And I'm glad you got to hear from the best of the best on the Dodgers today. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk. Like I mentioned, the next Dodger game broadcast will be this Sunday morning against the Seattle Mariners. Dodgers on Deck begins at 11:30. First pitch with Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner at 12:05. Thanks to Ronnie Fazio for all his help. Hope everybody has a great weekend. See ya.